are the New York Knicks.
I'm back. Back in New York.
Ooh, well, it's the Knicks.
New York.
We are the New York Knicks.
New York.
But this new season we're about to enter, the Knicks taking no shorts. It's like winter.
New York. New York.
New York be about the Knicks, huh?
But the best thing about New York City is
K-N-I-C-K-S.
Everybody say go New York, go New York, go!
Hey everybody, it's the New York Knicks podcast, episode 260. How you doing, Mark?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing amazing.
Amazing. I can't say I'm actually amazing. I'm actually insanely tired, but that's just part of having two kids.
Yeah.
And Jay, it was your birthday yesterday, right?
It sure was, yeah.
What did the Knicks get you for your birthday?
The Knicks got me rumors. That's what they got me.
They got you rumors?
They got
you the Fleetwood Mac album?
They did. It was arguably their best album, so it was a pretty good gift.
That was a pretty good album. On Facebook, I asked everyone what they would get you for your birthday. I'm going to read some of them.
Good answers on there.
Yeah. So Greg writes, birthday greetings from Derrick Rose and Larry Bird. I think we might have to retire the Derrick Rose impression, as I think that might have gone too far or on too long. Sean writes, cooking lessons with Larry Bird. Maybe it'll be a Larry Bird theme. Matt writes, sign Sean Marion. Happy birthday, Jay.
I like that one.
Sean Marion is still a free agent. Shockingly, he has not been signed yet. Knicks have the entire vet minimum to offer him. Is Marion going to be a Knick?
They have all the minimum to give him.
I mean, Jay, how happy would you be if Sean Marion signed with the Knicks?
That would be awesome. I would be very excited.
Would you be at Modell's screaming at them, get the Knicks jersey in with Marion's name?
I would just wait in the lobby of MSG for them to put that on the shelves.
I don't care if he hasn't declared a number yet. Just figure out what his number is and get it, Nick. John writes, a wine and dine evening with James Dolan. Grant writes, plus free tickets to JD in the Straight Shot.
Ooh.
If you got just tickets to JD in the Straight Shot, would you definitely go?
No, I don't think I would.
What if you got front row tickets?
Front row tickets. Yeah, you know what? I think our listeners would kill me if I didn't go to that.
I would have to say, if I get tickets anywhere in the building, I think I'd have to go. I wouldn't necessarily stay the whole night, but just to see what that is even like, I am just fascinated.
I would actually be curious to see like who the people are that are actually going to that. If it's not like them opening for the Eagles, if they're like headlining, I want to see like the type of people that go to that.
It'd be like, oh my God, it's Cleon Early. It's Cleon Early. Cleanthony Early. Yep. Rookie hazing. Gotta sit here.
You heard, I don't know if we talked about it. Meadow went to one of his concerts.
I think I heard that.
Yeah, I don't think we even mentioned that on the show, but that must have been an interesting sight.
That you mean before when he was on the Knicks, though, not like more recently?
Right.
He might be on the Knicks again. Who knows? Nils, a signed Amari jersey that says phenomenal. It's a pretty good one. Mm-hmm. Stone says, LeBron, get him now. Phil, happy birthday. Phil Jackson announces, we've made a trade with Cleveland to get LeBron. We made it work because we told him it was Jay's birthday, and they just said, that sounds good.
Well, in that case.
In that case, screw him coming home to his family. Richard writes, knowing the Knicks probably will give at least two first-round draft picks and no championships for decades, happy birthday. Rather writes, who the hell is Jay? comma, Knicks. I'm quote, the Knicks saying, who the hell is Jay? That's exactly right, because the Knicks have no clue who we are.
Yeah. And if they did, we would probably get a cease and desist.
Probably. Matt writes, Larry Bird's autograph followed by a tattoo of that autograph. I'm pretty sure Jay already has tattoos of different parts of Larry Bird's body on his body. Quar writes, dead James Dolan. I don't know if dead as much is necessarily what Jay wants, but maybe like no longer Knicks owner James Dolan.
Yeah, I don't want him dead. I would like the Knicks to have a restraining order against James Dolan.
Yeah, he can live a nice, wonderful life. hasn't hurt the Rangers. They're playing well, so you can keep doing that.
Yeah.
Tristan writes, a David Lee cover of John Waite's Missing You.
Nice.
That's a pretty good one. I'm a Dog writes, happy birthday, Jay. I don't know what the Knicks gift for you should be. I wish health and luck for you and your family.
Well, thank you. That's very nice.
I'm a Dog. That's way too nice. Thomas writes, LeBron. That would be a good gift. Mike writes, I think the Knicks should let Jay punch Dolan in the face for his birthday.
I think a lot of people would like that.
Jerry writes, trade for Felton. That'd be hilarious. Frankie writes, a trade.
I mean, I would have to go into the witness protection program if they traded for Felton and said it's because it's Jay's birthday and that's a gift to him. I would be getting death threats in the mail.
And hey, guys, I want to let you know, if you hate Jay now, wait till you find out what we gave up to get Felton.
Yeah.
So last episode, a lot had happened for the episode. LeBron signing, Melo signing, every third player in the NBA training, changing teams. We got a little excited. We got a little maybe angry. And we ended up doing, I think we have to say, we ended up doing a pretty bad episode, Jay.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. I wasn't totally happy with it. And maybe we shouldn't have even posted it. I don't know.
We got some, we got some reviews after the last episode. We got some good reviews and some bad ones. I want to read the bad ones first, and then we read the and talk about them, and then we can read the good ones after.
The good reviews are for the show in general. We almost never, ever get reviews of particular episodes. And this episode, we got two reviews on our website. If you don't know, we do have a website, thenewyorkknickspodcast.com. And two people wrote reviews for last episode.
So 123 says, I tuned in for the first time and was not very impressed. I get it. The oldest trick in sports radio. One guy sounds reasonable. The other one is an outrageous asshole.
I think you were the outrageous asshole.
I'm assuming. How crazy. But the trolling was so subpar and transparent. It's lost all entertainment value. It needs to be either subtle enough so it could pass for an actual argument or flat out funny. And sadly, it was neither. Of course, I can understand that snark may be the only club left in the bag when your own team just committed its future to a perennial loser on the wrong side of 30, and the team's biggest draw is supposed to be a fat geriatric who was once a great coach. See what I did there? Maybe I should start an NBA podcast.
All right. Well, you were being a little outrageous with your LeBron questions.
You know, here's my LeBron thing. I just felt it was kind of, everyone gave him so much flack when he went to Miami, and some deserved, some not deserved. And then when he came back to Cleveland, I felt like everyone just said he did it perfectly. He did it so perfectly. He made up for last time and blah, blah, blah. And I felt like, hey, he did come back to Cleveland, and I'm sure they're very happy in general to have him back. But I feel like, I don't know how perfect he did it. Here's my take on it. If I was a Cleveland fan, I would say, oh, wait, we're getting LeBron back? Oh, that's super exciting. I can't believe, I'm so excited to have LeBron for the next 5 years. Oh, next 2 years? Oh, okay. Oh, well, that makes sense. I get that. I mean, they're changing the TV deal. He might want to get more money in 2 years. Then he's going to lock it up. And wait, what do you mean he could be a free agent next summer? Oh, okay. Well, whatever. I'm glad he's coming. I'm really excited. And I understand that, like, he's leaving a really good thing on the table in Miami to come back to Cleveland. Oh, Miami was not a good situation anymore. Oh, Wade was kind of done. And so they had to rebuild. So we came back here. Okay. Well, you know what? That's still cool with me. At least he's coming back to Cleveland, no matter how the team is. Oh, he said he'd only come back after we got a bunch of first round draft picks and improve greatly. Okay. Okay. Well, cool. I'm glad LeBron's back. Yay.
I mean, the 2 year thing was only because of the TV deal.
Well, he can be a free agent next summer. That part's kind of weird. And I guess maybe they say like he wants to keep putting pressure on the ownership. I just can see, I can foresee a situation where they have two not so amazing seasons, like knocked out in the second round. I mean, I think they're going to be really good. Well, let's just say things don't go quite his way, and Z in 2 years him jumping ship somewhere else. And maybe not even 2 years. Maybe next year. This year is such a bad year. Kyrie Irving's out for most of the season, and Wiggins turns out to be not so good, or Love comes there and like doesn't play as well as everyone expected, and LeBron's like, hey, I'm coming home to Miami. That was my take on that. I think that one we got a lot of. Let me read the next negative review, and then we can talk about the rest of the other thing. I think the Melo thing is what we got a lot of criticism for also.
Okay.
But anyhow, LeBron's going back to Cleveland. I think they're going to be pretty good. I like the one thing I like about it is now the East is not like just Miami. It seems like the power in the East, a bunch of teams have gotten better, but it seems like there's more of a path for us to actually get to the finals. Not next year, really, but. I'm a first-time listener, and I have two questions. One, what the hell was this? Calling yourself bitter is an understatement. The entire podcast reeked with resentment.
It was. It was a very negative podcast. We were very down on the Melo contract.
Right. I'm not sure what the positive, I know we're really negative, but like, yay, LeBron took the moment. I mean, Melo took almost the entire salary cap. Two, who is that guy that did the impressions? You came off as a giant douchebag, and that's coming from someone who doesn't care for Wade or Rose. I'm disappointed with myself for actually tuning in for as long as I did. Don't quit your day jobs. I assume he doesn't think we actually have this is actually our job, or that we expect to actually make money from this. I assume he understands we actually must have real jobs.
Yeah, no, that's what he means. Don't quit our real jobs.
Okay. But anyhow, the other thing was the Melo thing. I think we're moved past that, Jay. Are you past the whole Melo?
I'm over it. Now I'm ready to look forward to him scoring a lot of points.
He's going to be for 5 years. I mean, I think the real hope we have to all have is, as good as Melo has been, you have to hope with Phil Jackson's system, the triangle, and a better coach and a better system, that he'll be even better.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I don't mean just like scoring more points or getting more rebounds, but maybe playing more defense, playing more team basketball, which may also come from if he trusts his teammates around him and trusts the system, he may be more inclined to play more team basketball. Phil made a really good point. I heard Phil Jackson, who I freaking love so far, the fact that he keeps talking and talking. I don't remember when the last time we had a Knicks GM or team president do a lot of talking. Or do this.
I also
talking.
Like how he doesn't leak everything. Like that Calderon trade came out of nowhere.
Yeah, but anyhow, he's made a point that the whole triangle system and the ball movement is not necessarily to get more shots for Melo. It's to make it easier for him to score, but also to make it easier for other guys to score, so taking a lot of weight off Melo.
Yeah.
And that way also maybe if it's easier for him to score, he's getting better shots. Not only will he hit more of the shots, he'll have more energy. So, like in the fourth quarter, when we need him to hit that last shot, he'll be able to hit it because he's not gassed.
Exactly.
But anyhow, those are the two. Any other? So I guess we bashed the salary, but there was also a really good article on Posting and Toasting.
I believe so. Yeah.
And I forget exactly when it was. Maybe a week ago, but about the numbers and the salary, saying, even if Melo had taken a little more of a discount, it wouldn't have made much of a difference as far as who they could assign.
Yeah, that was Posting and Toasting. That was a good article. Basically, if Melo took like $3 million a year less than he did, it wouldn't have helped at all. He would have had to take like such a massive, unrealistic pay cut, like ones we weren't even calling for him to take.
Right. I mean, he's getting right now, I think, $25 million a year around, and I think they said if he goes down to like $18 million a year, it would have made a nice difference. But no one was really expecting him to take that big of a – no one was expecting to make that big of a difference. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, look at Dirk Nowitzki. He signed for $8 million a year or something like that in Dallas, which is amazing and really allows Dallas to build around him. But in fairness, Dirk is 36 years old. He's been playing for 6 more years, which means he's had 6 more years of like top max salary than Melo. Maybe Melo will do that when he's 36 also, but right now Melo, he does want to get paid. I get that.
Right.
He doesn't need all the money, but I guess apparently if it wasn't going to make that big of a difference, and I guess he took what Phil said, what Phil wanted him to do was take a little bit less in his second year to give them more flexibility. He did that. I don't know how much flexibility even means, but he did something. He did kind of what they wanted, I guess.
Yep. I mean, I'm not complaining about the... I will not complain about his salary for a year.
Anyhow, either way, he's in the triangle system. The last two guys that Phil had in the air, Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, were two of the greatest players of all time. Melo obviously is not quite to their level, which is not insulting Melo. But if they can make that system work and work really well, maybe this can take Melo's game to another level. And that would be pretty awesome.
Yep.
So moving forward, let's read the anything else you want to say that we did. We said that we're so... I mean, I think that's all the negativity we're getting.
Yeah, I mean, we were negative the whole episode. We did pretty much complain about the Melo contract the whole episode. But we got it out of our system. So now forward.
We also, to be fair, we took the... I think the one thing you have to do, and we try to do when we're negative, is if you're going to be negative and complain, you should be funny.
Right, and because, we failed on that part, too.
And we failed on that part, too. Hey, you know what? It doesn't always work out. Sometimes we're not as good. We respect all criticism, and we respect the criticism that was given.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you have your favorite show, and there's a bad episode. It's
on a positive side, we got 4 new reviews on iTunes, and they were all very positive, so we're going to read those also.
And those help a lot. I mean, last episode, despite it being a train wreck, was one of our most downloaded episodes ever because these iTunes reviews bring in traffic. So thank you, everyone who does that.
Which also made us think, oh, good. The episode that's getting a ton of downloads for us is also one that we are kind of not proud of. Yeah. Wonderful. Hey, I'm a new listener. Your show sucks. Thank you. Bye. Yeah.
I'll be sure to never check it out again. Great.
So this first review is called It's Great Show, 5 stars. The title of the review is Great Show. And the reviewer's name is Jay and Mark Forever. And he writes, or she writes, Mark and Jay are hilarious, and they aren't a stupid funny. They know their stuff when it comes to the Knicks and basketball. I just wish I could get them to do a Mets podcast and hear how negative Jay is about the Mets, who more than half the time are worse off than the Knicks. Oh, well. Still a great podcast, my favorite to listen to, and I highly recommend it. I would like to say that I would love to do a Mets podcast. Too bad Jay hates baseball. I'm retarded. Hates baseball because I could talk Mets all day. And I could complain. I'd be so much more negative about the Mets. but we appreciate that, and we are stupid funny sometimes. Sometimes we're really funny. We hit and miss. Next review is Entertaining Show. It's by Christopher Seaver, and he says with 5 stars and says, and they're actually funny. Keep up the New York podcasts. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
This one is titled Awkward But Entertaining. 5 stars.
We're by, awkward.
Yeah, whatever. By Zigster 222. As a Pacers fan living in NYC, these guys are funny to listen to. There is an astonishing lack of salary cap knowledge, but aside from that, they are pretty solid. Their timing is a bit off, and sometimes the jokes are cringeworthy, but I enjoy it. Thanks, guys. Keep it going. I would have to say I kind of love when we have fans from other teams that listen to our show.
Yeah, we're going to read some from we have a Mavericks fan and a Heat fan. Nets fan. It's interesting.
I appreciate that. I mean, I understand people that are Knicks fans want to hear about the Knicks, but it's pretty cool to also someone that like is a Pacers fan still wants to hear our show. The lack of salary cap knowledge, I have to say, Jay, I don't think anyone knows less about the salary cap than me.
Maybe me. No, I know more than you.
I am amazed. I find it confusing. I can find it confusing. I understand there's like a million exceptions, but it is just a weird system where the Nets can pay $100 million and like some other team is stuck at $60 million. And I kind of understand how they get there, but it's, I think it's just a weird system.
It is confusing.
The Nets go out and like sign guys. They sign some European guy. I'm like, good for them. I totally understand how they had room for that with having been over by the salary cap by $20 million. It makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
The mid-level exception. Why just have a normal salary cap that could be on a like one page with like three, like the one rule. You can't spend more than $65 million or $70 million and just call it, that's it.
The end.
What do we do if, like, frequently asked questions. What do we do if we have $70 million worth of guys contracts and the cap is only $65 million? Answer, get under $65 million. There you go. Be such a simpler system. And this is last review is on cringeworthy jokes. We appreciate you liking our cringeworthy jokes. This interview title is Where Knicks Fans Can Relate. 5 stars by Knicks Fan RP3. Mark and Jay deliver comedic bitterness that all true Knicks fans feel. Great show. Keep it up. And In Phil We Trust should be a shirt.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everyone, for those reviews. Like we said, they helped the show out a lot because we don't really know we don't know the salary cap, and we also don't know how to market. So any following we have is just word of mouth. So the reviews help a ton.
Yes. So we have a bunch of things we want to talk about. We feel a lot of that will be covered by the Facebook questions and the Twitter questions and the email. So we're going to start with that and then go to some other things if we have time. Any email questions?
Yes. We are nynixpodcast@gmail.com. We got an email from Ian. He sent this while we were recording last week, so I'm pretty sure we didn't read it. It's a three-part question. Can we now say Daryl Morey officially sucks for basically allowing Chandler Parsons to become a restricted free agent? Oh, we did cover this, didn't we?
Yeah, I thought we did.
Yeah, we did. Okay. Thank you, Ian. We read that last week.
We will cover a question we already answered from a different show.
It'll be a best of New York Knicks podcast questions.
We'll see if we still agree with this, our previous answer.
Actually, Ian sent one this week, too.
Okay.
Do you think the Mavs have already given up on Felton by signing Jameer Nelson and have fun with 500 hours of mandatory community service, Felton? I think Felton is a great third string point guard. I just think he's a terrible first string point guard.
Yeah, I would agree that he's not a bad backup for your backup.
Yeah.
I mean, who else? Dallas has, they have Jameer now. They have, which I actually wouldn't mind the Knicks picking up as a third guy also. But they have Jameer, Felton, and who's the third guy?
Devin Harris.
That's not a bad trio.
That's better than any trio we've had.
Giving up on Felton? Yeah, I mean, they probably said, hey, we'll take a flyer on this guy being halfway decent, and if he's not, we have Jameer Nelson.
Yeah, I don't think they gave up on him, but they are definitely not relying on him.
I mean, I think probably, oh, Mr. Cuban, it's nice to meet you. I'm Ray Felton. I'm joining the team. So what kind of food options do they have in the arena? let's sign this Jameer Nelson guy.
So it was a two-part question. Part two, do you think Tyler gets cut or not? Jeremy Tyler.
The thing about Jeremy Tyler is, like, on the one hand, I kind of can see, like, we should just cut him. He's not. But on the other hand, I feel like I wonder how good he's going to be. Like, where do you think his ceiling is?
I think his ceiling is, like, decent rotation player. I don't think he'll ever be a starter, but I think he could be an energy guy off the bench.
A guy that can get you a bunch of points. I feel like he's not going to be a great rebounder. He's never going to be a great defender. At best, he's going to get you some good points off the bench, which is not bad. I think Phil was trying to figure that out. He's probably trying to figure that out in the D League, watching him. Not the D League, the
Summer League.
Where the Knicks actually played pretty well. They were like 3-1 or 4-1?
4-1, yeah. They made it to the quarterfinals, and they lost the quarterfinals by 3 points.
I watched them. They looked pretty good, I thought.
I mean, I like the ball movement.
Lots of ball movement. Seemed like they were playing a lot of team basketball. I was a fan of that. Seemed like they're getting in passing lanes.
Who are these defense. Guys?
They're saying one thing that a lot of people have noticed in the summer league was that Derek Fisher wasn't too big on switching.
Yeah. He was also bigger on actually coaching than Woodson was.
No, I didn't see Derek Fisher doing a lot of, things aren't going well. Let me grimace.
Yeah, let me just double down on that.
Guys, we need to score today. Let's try to pick one guy and have him keep trying to keep feeding him the ball. Just that one guy. I can see Tyler getting cut. And I wouldn't even be that sad if he does get cut.
I think he's going to for like a veteran presence, because the Knicks got a lot younger, but now they're kind of lacking on vets. So maybe they get rid of Tyler and get Meta back.
What if they say, like, well, Kmart said he's healthy, I'm ready to come back. You cut Tyler if they can bring back Kmart.
I say Kmart is a liar and he's not healthy.
What if Marcus Camby says he's healthy also, and Baron Davis says he's healthy also?
Marcus Camby says he wants to make a comeback.
If Kmart actually was healthy, I would cut Tyler in a second to do it. Because I like his veteran presence. He's a good passer. I think Tyler's not a good enough passer for or he could become a good enough passer. We have enough guys that I'm fine with him cutting him, and I'm fine with him bringing the vet presence. I don't think he's ever going to be that great.
I think he gets cut. I wouldn't mind seeing him on the team, but I'm pretty sure he's a goner.
Like, guys I think that have higher, like a guy like Cole Aldridge, I'm glad he's on the team. I don't think he's ever going to be great also, but I feel like Cole Aldridge is a guy that's going to get better and better on defense, going to be an asset to have, versus Tyler's going to be a guy that I feel like will float around the league on different teams, and people will get excited about him for a little bit, but he'll never really do that much.
Like Anthony Randolph's potential.
He doesn't have Anthony Randolph's potential, though.
Anthony Randolph is only, like, 24.
Which is unbelievable.
How is that possible?
When we traded for Anthony Randolph, it already seemed like he'd been in the league for a while.
Yeah.
That was a while ago.
I don't get it.
So I say we cut Jeremy Tyler and sign Anthony Randolph's potential.
Should we just start calling him the immortal Anthony Randolph? So thank you for the email. He also sent the ESPN article about Anthony talking about his decision. And he wrote, apparently now Mello doesn't care about the money.
I do like in his talking about it, he was like, I thought I was going to stay in the Knicks, and then it was going to be Chicago. Then it was going to be L.A. Then it was going to be back to Knicks or Chicago. And then it was going to be... I almost wish he just hadn't discussed his thought process, like how he was just like flip-flopping so much.
Yeah.
And it makes me almost feel worse. It's almost like you proposed to a girl, and she's like, she says yes, and then like on your wedding night, she's like, yeah, I was going to say no, then I said yes, then no, and I really wasn't sure, but I'm glad we're here.
Then I asked my friend Nancy for advice.
And I looked at the ring. The ring looked like it was worth a lot of money, so I thought maybe, and you had a good job, but I was going to say no anyhow, but then I said yes. Oh, wonderful. Mellow. Now, whatever.
Okay. So that was, we have Twitter questions. Yes. We're at NY Knicks Podcast.
The site's called www.twitter.com.
Mm-hmm. So this is from William Lee, who writes for the website periodically. And he commented on the reported Knicks offer for Kevin Love. And I think
there was an offer for Kevin Love. I'm sure. Let me try to figure this out. Who would the Knicks offer for Kevin Love? I mean, obviously you can't offer Melo. But I guess you could offer... There are a lot of good players on the Knicks you could offer. I can't think of a single scenario of a trade that we would have offered without Minnesota hanging up.
William wrote, how quickly did Minnesota hang up? So
do you think the only offer that they'd entertain would be like, you could have every number one pick we have that we could legally give you under NBA rules?
That the old regime would have done that.
Okay, so I already know the offer, but
it was Stoudemire, obviously, Shumpert, and Tim Hardaway Jr.
They said Amari was at least they prefaced it by saying Amari was for salary cap reasons, or at least where I read it was.
Well, yeah,
they weren't like, we'll give you Amari.
Because he said he's going to be an all-star this season.
Look at his efficiency. He was awesome. He replaces all your scoring. And with the amount of defense Kevin Love played, it's almost like it's the same person.
So, yeah, they obviously said no to that. I ran that past a Minnesota fan, and he actually paused for a second before he said no.
I would think that Minnesota would be considering it if prior to the offer you heard that, oh, Love needs reconstructive surgery on his knee. Yeah, this offer sounds pretty good to him.
I think the prospect of getting all that salary cap space and the young guys was kind of appealing to him.
Right, but you're Minnesota, so we have lots of salary cap space. Oh, no one wants to live here.
Yeah, that's...
that's helpful.
Yeah.
The two offers that sound like they're most appealing are the Chicago one and the Cleveland one, right?
Yeah.
So Cleveland supposedly, I mean, I don't know if it's just rumors, but supposedly they're going to include Wiggins, right?
Yeah, nobody seems to know if that's like a real thing or not.
So if it ends up being Wiggins, Bennett, I guess, but I don't know why Bennett has to be in the trade. Bennett and like a number one draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Do you prefer that or Chicago's office of Chicago's Mirza Teletovic,
mm-hmm.
whatever? Is that Mirza? Which one's the guy in the Nets? Is Mirza the one? What's the name of the guy that's Chicago's?
Yeah, no, that's the Nets guy.
His brother's name, then what? What's his brother's name?
His brother? I don't know.
His brother's the one that's on Chicago, right? Aren't they related?
They are.
I might be retarded. I thought they were brothers.
Miratech.
Do they have different names?
Yeah, I don't even think it's the same name.
Oh, I just heard the... I don't know. It all sounds European to me. Maybe I'm... Oh, my God.
Yeah, one's Miratech and one's Teletovic. That's not even
one's
close.
Mirza Teletovic.
And the other one is Nikola Mirotic. They're not even close.
I don't think I was paying much attention. Really? Is it that
far? Yes, it's not even close.
I have to say, in fairness,
I want to see how
my daughter's
you get
almost
it,
5 months. I haven't slept in like 5 months, basically. Two kids has been pretty brutal on my ability to be alive. So that's how I missed that. Anyhow.
That is ridiculous.
So it's what's his name? Miratech?
You sure it's not Kirilenko? They sound alike.
That would be pretty awful if you like if I was a GM and like I got the European dude. Kirilenko, he's been around for oh fuck.
yeah, so it was Gibson, Butler, and Miratech.
Okay, which trade do you like better if you were Minnesota?
I'm leaning towards Chicago's offer.
I think Cleveland's offer is a no-brainer. I have to say, first of all, I mean, number one pick is going to be a late first-round pick. That's not going to be a great pick, but it's still a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Wiggins has a super high ceiling, and he could be as good, if not better, than Love. That's what you want in return, a chance to actually, like, you basically want, you want that, you want, like, you're going to lose a superstar. You want a number one pick that actually can do what, be really good. And there's a remote chance Bennett ends up being decent.
Well, I mean, Mirotic was EuroLeague MVP.
Right. Who cares?
And you're getting two other players that are both young and on decent contracts.
No, I think Mirotic is a pretty good signing for Chicago. I'm sure he'll be pretty good. But like, I think European MVP is still probably not the high ceiling that Wiggins has.
I don't know.
And Taj Gibson, he's good, but like he's also good with under a really top-notch defensive coach. Maybe he's not going to be quite as good in Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm not as high on Gibson as some people are, considering he couldn't even get a starting spot over Boozer.
And what's his name? Who's the third guy?
Butler.
Oh yeah, Butler. Doesn't he shoot like 38%, 37%?
Yeah, he actually regressed this year.
So I mean, I think he's a good young talent, but like I don't know if that trade is like. Either trade, obviously, you're taking a risk, but I take a risk with the guy that has the higher ceiling. But how much was that suck for Mirotic? Whatever his name is. You're like, oh, fine, I will come to the NBA for a three-year deal because I'm going to join a team that's pretty good, and I have to live where? You traded me already? How pissed off would he be?
Yeah, I would not be happy.
Yeah. I have to play in another place. Well, at least as long as it's not goddamn Minnesota. Oh. Twitter, next question.
We didn't get any other ones. Apparently, we forgot to read Marlo Stanfield's. I like the reference. We forgot to read his questions last week. And so he called us out on it, but then didn't send any this week. So sorry about that. Send them in next week and we'll make sure we read yours.
I believe Marlo from Twitter is a big Miami Heat fan.
Yes.
I would ask him, how's that working out for him now? Facebook questions. First one, no war, peace out writes, what mantra would you write on a small piece of paper to pin onto Amari's corkboard knees this season?
Being healthy is phenomenal.
When you're going back on defense, that you're not on break. Well, here's a question for you. I don't know if it's going to be addressed later, but we have a couple guys this season playing for contracts, and particularly Bargs and Amari. And usually guys in contract seasons usually bring a little more and actually have better seasons. What do you expect from Amari and Bargs, because it's a contract year for both of them?
That's a good question. I think I expect Amari to be good when he's healthy, but I still expect him to miss at least 20 games. Bargs, I think Bargs is going to have one or two games where we're not furious at him. And then he's going to have a long string of games where we're really, really angry at him. Kind of like last season.
Yeah, there'll be moments where we're not mad, but...
He'll go on some hot streaks where he'll hit a bunch of shots, and we're like, oh, okay, this could work. And then he'll try and dunk from the free throw line again, and then we're like, oh, yeah, it can't work.
I'm really wondering with the guys that are really known to be poor defenders like Amari and Bargs, how they'll be affected by having a coach and a system which really promotes defense. Which I'm assuming Phil Jackson and Derek Fisher will be doing. I think the triangle is supposedly supposed to, on defense side of things, supposed to leave you in better positions for defense. And supposedly, I guess, at least we've seen so far, is Derek Fisher seems to be into team defense based on what we've seen from the summer league. Do we think Amari and Bargs will look a little better in that system? That system, I guess.
I mean, we better hope so, or it's going to be another early exit.
Right, and the same point. If they don't look better, they don't play any defense, and they're really hurting the Knicks, will the Knicks have any issue with sitting those guys?
I really hope Fisher focuses on accountability. I really do.
I kind of think with this team, especially with these guys also, but especially the fact they're both in contract years and the Knicks being open, very open to trading either one, that the Knicks are saying, I think they'll be in a position to say, like, if you don't play defense or you're not contributing on offense, you're not doing what we want you to do out there, you just don't play.
Right, and then you won't get to showcase your talents for your contract year, and you're going to lose a lot of money.
Yeah, so, but I don't think Bargs and Amari are trying not to play defense as much as they're just having an inability to play.
Yeah, I agree.
Unlike JR, who sometimes just takes defense off.
Right.
Frankie writes, can we make that trade with the Pistons? I believe I had written. Did I ask this in a question? We're basically referring to, would you do Amari for Josh Smith? I think I asked that as one of the questions of the day on Facebook.
No, I think you just texted that to me.
Did I not write that on Facebook?
No, you were messing with me because you knew I was in class.
Oh yeah, I did. I texted Jay one night and said the Knicks just traded Amari for Josh Smith. And Jay was like, I'm in class. Did that really happen? And I think I wrote back, ha. And didn't write anything else.
Yeah, you just wouldn't give me a straight answer. And you know what? By the end of class, I had actually talked myself into it and was like getting excited about it.
And well, Josh Smith seems like it's been a complete disaster for Detroit so far.
Right, but the thing is, he's not a bad player.
No, he's not. I mean, would you do it? I would do it in a heartbeat. I would take on his contract. I'd be happy to take on his contract for Amari.
The problem is, once again, you will have your two best players play the same position because Josh Smith is not a three. So then you're pushing. You have to play Melo at the three because Josh Smith just can't play the three.
Right.
So.
Well, they say also in when I was reading some comments in the triangle is that the positions aren't quite as, like, they're a little more loosely defined than, like, the three or the four.
But Josh Smith can't shoot, so he's clearly not spreading the floor.
Right. Well, I think the Knicks would have to... I don't know why he's allowed to shoot three-pointers. I don't understand when Josh Smith goes for a three-point shot, don't they just, like a shot... Like, they just have, like, one of those, like, invisible dog collars on him. Every time he floats outside the arc, they just, like, boom! Get back inside.
Well, the problem is they signed him after they had Drummond and Monroe, so there was nowhere else to put him. It was a dumb signing, not based on talent, just based on the rest of their roster.
Yeah, no, he's really good player. He can play defense. When he plays his game, which is more inside presence, he's a great asset to have. He just doesn't fit. Yeah, right. Doesn't fit on their roster. So I think the trade actually would make a lot of sense for both teams. Detroit would get out of that contract. And this is not knocking Amari. Like, we can replace Amari with Barks in this trade scenario. I don't really care. It's really just about, would you trade, would you take on Josh Smith's salary, basically?
Yeah, I don't think it's that bad. He's still under 30, and he's making $13 million a year. I mean, that's not that bad.
Right. And
I have a feeling a lot of people are going to attack us for this, but I don't think it's that bad.
I think I did post this on Facebook, and I think the one thing someone was like immediately defending Amari and said, stop bashing Amari. And I think we could all agree at this point in their careers, especially with Amari's health issues, that you'd rather have Josh Smith than Amari.
Yeah.
And also be a better fit on this team, Josh Smith versus Amari. It's just a matter of, would you be willing to go a big contract for Josh Smith? And then what the big thing you would be doing is eliminating your free agency summer for next year. Next year, you can't sign up. You can't go out there and sign Rondo or whoever else.
Right. But, so I mean, realistically, is Boston going to, like, just let Rondo walk?
Well, there's a bunch of guys. There's Rondo you were trying to get. There's, what's his name on Phoenix? What's his name?
Dragic.
Yeah, Dragic. He's going to be a free agent. He's another guy we'd be more than willing to target. There's also...
Marc Gasol,
yes.
I'd be surprised if any of those...
Thank you for saying it before I could tell you I didn't remember.
I'd be surprised if any of those guys left.
But let's say you think those one of those guys, like, in the one hand, you're like, one of these guys is one of our targets. Maybe we might be able to get him. Would you be willing to give up that opportunity to take Josh Smith instead?
I mean, if you really think that you can get one of those guys, I would rather one of those guys. But, I mean, if you're just throwing out a shot in the dark that maybe possibly it could sort of kind of happen, then I think that's, like, not being realistic.
Right. I guess I'd take 100% chance of getting Josh Smith over a 50% chance of getting one of those guys.
Right. And I wouldn't even say it's 50%, really.
Right. I mean, I do agree that, I agree that those guys would be better than Josh Smith. And B, we're talking about this way too long when it's not even a real trade scenario.
Right. Let's move on. We actually got to speed up with these questions.
Okay. I'm a Dog writes, is this Dolan's new cover song? Meatloaf's I'll Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That.
Oh, what is that in reference to anything?
Yeah, I don't really know what that's in reference to. I do like Meatloaf. Grant writes, we prayed to the basketball gods last season and they failed us. Who should we pray to this upcoming season?
Phil.
In Phil we trust.
Yes.
We just pray to Phil. Tristan writes, please just laugh for 4 minutes about this. Knicks tried to acquire Kevin Love by offering Amari, Tim Hardaway, and Shumpert. I mean, I understand. Yeah, it's ridiculous straight up. Minnesota would have to be like, whatever. We're never going to win anyhow. Let's just make the Knicks happy. and I also do think getting Kevin Love wouldn't make a lot of sense. I guess I would say I think Kevin Love makes... Would you rather have Kevin Love or Josh Smith? Here's a question.
Kevin Love, because he could spread the floor more.
Yeah, I guess I think Josh Smith brings more on defense, which I kind of like.
That too.
So,
but I mean, he does bring more on defense, but I don't know. It's not like the Knicks are an offense, a defensive powerhouse team where adding a defensive guy is really going to, I don't know.
They're going to be better on defense this year, and since neither of these... None of this stuff is realistic. I guess we should move forward.
Yeah.
Should we rather Magic or Larry Bird? I think I know who Jay would rather. Jake writes, given estimate of games we will win this season, you think we'll hit 50 plus again?
No. I would say 44.
I say 48 games. And you can lock me in on that. I say we definitely win 48 games. I give my super double guarantee.
Wow.
I really think the team is going to be a lot better than last season. Half the roster is different from last season.
Yeah. I mean, 44 is still a 7-game improvement over last year.
I'll tell you, who's your X factor? Outside of Melo, what one player's improvement would make the biggest difference on this team?
JR.
I could totally see the argument. I'm going to say, and I think he's going to, over the season, get a lot better. I'm going to be really excited we got him, is Shane Larkin.
Hmm.
If he emerges, he was I think he was 18th pick last year. He has a lot of talent. If he emerges as a pretty good point guard and maybe our point guard of the future, that would be pretty amazing.
That would, yeah.
And he has a chance to learn under a fantastic point guard in Calderon. May not be the best defender. And Larkin has already shown in the summer league he has some defensive ability. But if he learns to be a great passer under Calderon, that'd be a wonderful mentorship.
The thing is, Calderon is a bad defender, but it's not because he doesn't know how. Like, he goes to the right spots. He's just slow.
Yeah, so I was watching this. Someone did maybe it was on Posting Toasting again, but they did a thing on Calderon's defense showing that, like, he's trying and he's a smart defender. He just gets beat because he's, as Jay said, slow.
Yeah.
Mike writes, so you think 44, you think the team's only a little bit better?
I think 7-game improvement, considering, like, your main core is pretty much... I mean, Calderon for Felton, I guess, is a significant difference, but you have a new system. You have a lot of young guys. Like,
I feel like you have a real system as opposed to what we had last season. You have a significant upgrade at point guard and a decent second point guard, who I think could be very good. You have JR healthy from day one of the season and maybe you held more accountable. You lost Tyson Chandler, who was injured half of last season. And you know what? He wasn't the greatest last season. I feel like with the patchwork of D'Alembert and Cole Aldridge, we're not going to lose that much.
Well, hopefully you're right and I'm wrong. 44 games will almost definitely make the playoffs, and 48 will absolutely make the playoffs. So,
Mike writes, do you guys think that Phil caved into Melo's demands? Why didn't he play hardball and make Melo stay for less like we thought he would?
I mean, we don't really know the full situation, though. I mean... this got drawn out so long. Maybe Phil was playing hardball and Melo just wasn't going for it.
I mean, he could have also said, hey, what's the situation going to be? We lose Melo, and our best case scenario then is to hopefully get a guy as good as Melo for this system.
Right.
I mean, it's not ideal. Like, next summer he'd be going trying to get Kevin Love or whoever. Or the Knicks would have a bad season and hoping to draft some guy who ends up being almost as good as Melo. Sometimes, I guess, as a GM, you kind of just have to go like, well, everyone's offering him a lot of money. I kind of have to pay him, I guess.
Oh, and it's also, like we mentioned before, it really wouldn't have made a huge difference if he took that much less. So if it's not going to make a huge difference, it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, he must have just said, like, everyone, like, I'm sure Dolan also said to him, we kind of want him back. We'll go, it's okay if you don't bring him back, but, like, if you don't bring him back and the team sucks, you have a lot of explaining to do.
Right.
And maybe Phil also is, like, as much as he wants to rebuild and build a contender, he wasn't in for, like, a 10-year rebuild or a true 5-year rebuild. Maybe he's like, let's take one short card and bring back our only superstar.
Yeah.
Richard writes, if they keep JR and run Hardaway Jr. as his backup, do you think Shumpert could potentially turn into a Scottie Pippen point forward off the bench to rest Melo and take pressure off Larkin? Also, I'm really worried about the power forward position since none of them know how to play D. I also add, outside of Melo, all the power forwards we have long troubled injury histories or the name Jeremy Tyler.
Well, this is why I said 44 wins and not 48. There is problems with this roster.
Right. There are lots of problems. They seem deep in many ways also.
They are. I mean, they're deep because they all have similar talent, which isn't amazing talent. I mean, it's not bad, but it's not like...
I mean, if you can say the overall goal of the season is not to win the title, it's to get to the playoffs, look respectable, but more so is to figure out what you have and what you can build on. So, like, hey, we have a bunch of guards, a bunch of forwards, but here's the guys we need. Here we can improve the guys that we want to improve and figure out what we need to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, like, you figure out this season, you figure out guys like Shumpert. Maybe you figure out Shumpert's not right for us. We just cut ties with him. Or maybe you figure out Shumpert really has a role.
Right. So, yeah, this is more of an experimental season.
Building. You know what I also wonder is, not to go off on a tangent, but, like, how long do you think it's going to take them to really get the triangle?
Well, I mean, if Summer League is any indication, they're going to pick it up fairly quickly. Phil's been saying a month consistently.
Yeah, I kind of think the first month of the season is going to be, it's not going to hit everyone's expectations. They're going to have a mediocre first month, maybe 500 or whatever, because the team's going to have trouble picking up, like, it's going to, before they really get in the groove of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to Mike Woodson's coaching style of, see if you guys can pick this up. Go dribble and shoot.
Guys, here's the plan. Win games.
Here's the plan. When all else fails, give the ball to Melo. But if you have an idea of your own, give the ball to Melo. If you want to shoot, give the ball to Melo, unless it's JR. And JR, you only get 20 shots to miss tonight. what do you think of the Shumpert Scottie Pippen thing?
He's not going to be Scottie Pippen, but...
Really? No, he's not going to be Scottie Pippen?
I mean, I get what you're saying. He's a good defensive guy who can score. I want to see what he looks like in an actual system. I think he could be a much better than what we've seen, just having like an actual game plan.
I am very reminiscent of the trip to Texas, that 3-game swing where Shumpert looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like some of that potential is actually real.
Yeah.
Anthony writes, let's talk roster from what we got right now based on how we ended last season and assume we get meta. I think we've been doing that already. With meta would be helpful. I like the idea of getting, what do you think about getting meta?
I would say bring him back for training camp and see if he's got anything left. And if he does, then yeah, go for it.
They cut, who's the guy they cut recently?
Shannon Brown.
Jay had the best comment. Would you say your comment? What was your comment about that?
Oh, yeah. Phil was like, hey, Shannon, could you go to Summer League and teach everyone the triangle and then go away forever? Okay, thanks.
I love that comment. that would be the idea of bringing meta here. Hey, teach everyone to play D and like get out before you influence everyone too much.
I mean, that's what they basically did. They used them to train the young guys in the triangle.
here's a question. Would you rather give a spot to meta or give a spot to Kmart?
Meta.
I mean, Kmart.
I think Kmart's done.
I don't know. Maybe he'll get healthy. Who the hell knows? But Kmart, I like if he's healthy. I like for this team, they're both very good players. But just the fact that Kmart would bring a little more on defense and rebound. Not that Meta doesn't play defense, but...
But Kmart played like 8 games last season.
Listen, Jay. When we won 4 games, he was such a big part of our team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it'd be helpful when tutoring the big guys. Cole, I guess. Nils, okay, Lonnie writes, we have to move faster. Lonnie writes, yeah. With the roster being pretty much set barring a trade, what are your projections for the upcoming season? Which teams do you think will make the playoffs and who made the playoffs last season but won't make it this year? I think your question is better suited for a preseason, like when we make predictions for the current season.
Yeah, that or if we get really bored in August, we'll...
Where do you think the Knicks wind up seed-wise right now? Let's just throw that one out there.
I still think they're like sixth.
Which is fine. I mean, they're building towards... I think everyone would agree that this season is to build on for the... This is all about 2016. We're in this season.
Right.
So if you get to sixth, then you can prove from there. The league just got a lot. I mean, now you have Chicago, Indiana, Miami... Cleveland all probably ahead of you, and maybe Washington still ahead of you, so 6 seed wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah.
Nils writes, who would be your ideal free agent you would like to have on the roster for the mid player exception? I don't think we have that anymore.
Yeah,
I think that was Jason Smith, right?
Yeah, that was Jason Smith.
Who would be your ideal free agent for the vet mid, Jay? And I know you're gonna say Sean Marion. I love you, Sean Marion. I will move my Larry Bird tattoo for you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Richard writes, is Wayne Ellington still on the team or will he be waived?
He is still on the team. He will most likely be waived. I think Ellington and Tyler are barring a trade, those are the only two moves I think they will make, waiving those guys.
Yeah, I think right now the roster is pretty set.
I do have to say Ellington's contract is guaranteed. And Tyler's is only guaranteed after September 1st.
So by Tyler and Ellington might actually be on the team.
Yeah.
What's the deal with Ellington? I don't know much about Ellington. Is he supposed to be decent? I mean, obviously, he can't. No one thinks he's that decent because he's not even. People aren't talking seriously about having him on the roster. But he didn't play Summer League either.
No, I thought that was weird. I don't know. He's 26. He was kind of a high draft pick, I think, but never really did anything.
I don't know. Maybe he's in training camp, and then they see from there whether they want to get. And there probably will be guys that are fooling around who are vets at that point, where they'll say like, "Do we want to keep Ellington or just like sign one of these vets who might be decent?"
By high draft pick, I mean 28th pick.
That would be a high draft pick in Nick's world because we never have first round draft picks.
Exactly.
By the way, what do you think of the fact that Torrey Murray will probably be on a different team?
I'm not happy about that.
But in some ways, like, isn't Torrey Murray's spot taken by Shane Larkin? And wouldn't you rather have Shane Larkin?
Probably, yeah.
We still have Priggs, so you're kind of... No War Peace Outright. Should we bring back Meta?
Like I said, I think that we should bring him to training camp and see if he has anything left.
Would that be the first time in NBA history a team bought out a player mid-season and then brought him back the next season?
Yeah, it's almost like signing a guy and then amnesty him a week later.
No one would ever do that. That's idiotic. No War Peace Outright. Given the choices to trade Shump or JR for a decent center, which would you choose to trade and why? Which center would you try to get?
Trade JR, contract length.
What team is giving us a decent center for JR?
Hey, I'm just answering the question as it was written.
Or even Shump. No, we're not going to get a decent center. The decent center we're going to get is going to be Cole Aldridge. Not that Shump, we're just not going to get a decent center for one of these guys.
I would go after...
Which NBA Hall of Famer will we get for Shump or JR? Answer, Jay.
Blair. I would go after Blair.
Did he just sign an extension? He's not a free agent anymore.
So?
I think he's not a free agent anymore.
This is about a trade, not signing a free agent.
Okay, boy, fine. You trade JR for Blair.
Yes.
I don't know if that's even a really good trade. You get an undersized center who hasn't necessarily stayed healthy and has knee issues for JR, who, as bad as you, how much we all hate him, he still can put up his quote-unquote sixth man of the year numbers. I mean, to be fair for JR, after the first 2 months of travesty he put up last season, post-January, his numbers were pretty much the exact same as previous season.
That's my answer, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. Either way, I go with, let's see if Phil can figure out how to get JR to behave. If you get Dennis Rodman to behave, why can't he get JR to behave?
I know there's a funny answer to this question.
Stone writes, do you think it's wise for the Knicks front office to label Hardaway as a virtually untouchable in trades, or should they see what they can get for him, considering he's easily the most attractive asset they currently have?
I mean, I don't think he's completely untouchable. We just tried to throw him into a Kevin Love trade.
Well, how about you label him virtually untouchable, and that way other teams want to give you more for him?
Yeah.
Again, any takers for Amari every year of his contract? Any?
I think they don't want to trade him, but should the right scenario come around, he would be gone.
But should that be how you approach every guy for every trade? You should always approach everything. You shouldn't be in the media saying, we were dying to give this guy away, whatever we can get for him. As opposed right. to, like, Toronto probably said to us, Bargs? No, we weren't trying to get rid of him. I guess we would trade Bargs, but it's going to cost you a lot.
Well, we did that with
really
Felton.
Value Bargs.
We did that with Felton, and it worked. We said Felton's getting traded.
He's not coming off a terrible, terrible season in Portland. You have to take a lot to get him from Marcus Camby. He's not almost done. We want draft picks.
I mean, Felton really, Phil Jackson said he's not going to be on the team. We were going to trade him, and he was still able to trade him.
That's true, but it wasn't like he brought us anything back.
It's
he
not
was
the
like,
greatest
he was
strategy.
Well, he was really part of the trade where it says, hey, we want more than you're offering. You'll take Felton? Okay, I guess we can get more. That was part of the more we were getting for Chandler was throwing in Felton.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we were trading Felton. It wasn't like we called Dallas up and said, we'll give you Felton for anything. And Dallas would have said, Goodbye. Whatever. But is he untouchable? No. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Rob writes, how did the conversation between Phil and the Timberwolves go when he offered Stat, Shump, and Hardaway for Kevin Love?
I mean, do you think it continued at all? Or did the Knicks say that and they just went...
I'm fairly certain it was Steve Mills, not Phil. I'm fairly certain it was 3 a.m. and Steve Mills was drunk. Anthony writes, how amazing was the Derek Jeter respect commercial? Did you see when they showed Phil Jackson and Melo? I was super hyped when I saw them. LOL, love NY.
I actually didn't even see it.
You should Google. You should go check on YouTube. Pretty cool commercial. My favorite part, as much as the Melo and Jackson thing were pretty cool, was Mr. Met. That was my favorite part. Mm. Frankie writes, and any updates on this Greg Monroe sign-in trade?
I don't even know what
they were referring to.
Maybe. You know what? I'm not even sure if that was an actual real. It was a rumor, but I don't know if it was.
What was the rumor? Tell me. Maybe I'm missing this.
It was doing a sign-in trade, JR for Greg Monroe. I'm skeptical that was even a real thing.
So Detroit is doing it because?
Because they have Drummond and Smith. There's no point in having three guys that play two positions.
Yeah, I would do that. So that would be the guy, the pretty good center I could get. Monroe is center or power forward?
He's more of a power forward. I mean,
he's young. I would do that. He's got potential. I would do that one for JR. That's what I would do. But, the thing is, since Phil doesn't leak this stuff, do we even know, like...
No, there's no confirmation that this was an actual true rumor.
Yeah, I would do this.
Yeah.
And John writes, what will the starting five at the start of the season be? I think this is pretty much actually not a given.
No, I mean, Phil has said he wanted to tweak the guard situation a little bit. So, I mean, the way it is now, I think they go... they go obviously Calderon, but then I think they might go Shumpert.
You think he'll put Mel on the bench?
Maybe. I think he goes Shumpert, JR, Mello, and Dalembert.
Yeah, I would say that seems like the most obvious.
The only problem with that is that puts Bargnani and Amari on the bench, which means they're both going to be coming in, and having both of them on the floor at the same time is not great.
You know, it was an interesting comment that Phil also made when he was in one of the summer league games. He took one quarter and spoke and just like did an interview for one quarter. He said a lot of things, and one of the things he said was he felt Amari worked best at center than power forward. So maybe he plans on playing Melo. Maybe he might even start Amari. Who knows? Or sorry, Derek Fisher will start Amari.
Yeah, I don't know. It's they have an interesting roster right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my guess is that whoever's the starting five to start game one may not be the starting five to start game six. I mean,
or even game two.
They're probably going to be figuring this stuff out. I said the first month of the season is a lot of figuring stuff out.
Yeah, we're going to see a lot of different lineups and changes to see what works.
I think we were going to do a bunch of questions to each other, and I imagine we're almost out of time, right, Jay?
Yeah, we are over an hour already.
Just read your quick questions, and I'll read my quick questions, see if anything's interesting to discuss.
Okay. Do you think JR and Melo will buy into the triangle?
Yes, go on.
Are you comfortable with Dalembert and Cole as our two centers?
Yeah, center has become a less important position lately. And it's better about Kevin. The more important thing is to have a guy that plays defense and can rebound.
Okay. Where do you think Kevin Love is going to go? And do you think that changes the playoff landscape?
I think if Cleveland doesn't make that trade, they're probably going to the finals. And if they do make that trade, they're probably going to the finals.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I still think they're the team to beat. As long as Kyrie stays healthy, we'll talk about that later on. But
what team is going to surprise everybody and what team is going to disappoint everybody?
The Knicks is the answer for both those questions.
Every season ever.
Is that your last question? I'll give you my five.
Last one is, who are you most excited about on the Knicks?
I think I answered that already, but Shane Larkin. I'm excited to see if he could emerge. My number two on that list would be Shumpert, because I am excited to see under a real system. Mm-hmm. My first question to Jay was, Josh Smith, Amari, should we do it?
Yeah, we already did talk about that.
My second question was, biggest weakness the team had on defense last year?
Switching.
Yeah. I was going to say perimeter defense also, but biggest weakness on offense?
No plays, like zero plays at all.
Midseason All-Star Tournament. Have you heard the David Stern was, oh, no, sorry, David Stern, the new guy was throwing around? Yeah, Adam Smith. Do you think he's related to JR or Jason?
No, because his last name is Silver.
Oh, Silver. I thought you said Smith, and I'm half asleep.
Yeah, you are delirious.
I am delirious. Have you heard about the idea to throw a heavy midseason tournament?
I read that he was contemplating it, but I didn't even read the article.
I don't need to know more about them. They're doing a midseason tournament and think it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
I mean, like, yay, we're the midseason champions. Let's hold half a parade. If you could wave your magic wand and make one change to the NBA right now, what would it be?
I would cut out all of the... or
flopping? Flopping?
No.
Flopping?
No, not even the flopping. It would be the stoppages, all the timeouts and the... you know, they have like TV timeouts and twice per quarter.
You want the NBA to get by without revenue?
Slap a Coke logo on their jerseys and cut out the timeouts. I mean, how do they show every single World Cup game without any commercial breaks?
That's pretty much what they do. They slap them with all the stuff.
Exactly. Do that. I would rather an NBA game in an hour and 45 minutes than 2.5 hours with all these stoppages. It ruins the flow of the game, and it's just too much.
It would be kind of great to like have a Knick game without any like any stoppage and the team playing uniform sponsored by like Viagra. not that I was asked this question, but my one change I would make would be every team gets one amnesty a year.
You've been pushing for that for a while.
I love that. It should be how much fun would every offseason really be?
Yeah, it would be.
And that would be the best way to have teams improve, or maybe like. Every team that doesn't make the playoffs gets an amnesty.
Yeah.
It would be the best way to, like, any team that's stuck with a bad contract could just, like, restart again.
I'm not totally against that.
Well, Jay, once you're on board with that, we can bring this to Silver. what did we learn today?
We learned that we are capable of not ripping on Melo's contract all episode.
We're pretty much done ripping on his contract. Maybe next season. No, we're just done. Whatever. He's on the team.
The only way I'm going to rip on it in the next like 2 or 3 years is if he's ends up turning into Amari and missing like 40 games a season.
Yeah, but that's almost like you couldn't see that. You could see it coming with Amari's knees. Mm-hmm. Melo, I know he has the shoulder problems, but none of us think like he's going to have major injury problems in the next two. If he has injury problems in year four, whatever.
Yeah.
But
no, I mean, if it happens like next season, I'm going to be annoyed.
Right. But anyhow, so we're going to rip on Melo more if his game. I'm going to rip on Melo at least more if his game, like if he keeps just going heavy ISO and doesn't listen to like doesn't try to buy into the system, basically.
Right.
We also learned that. I don't know. What did we learn today? We learned that Greg Monroe could be a Knick soon, maybe.
We learned that there's actually no legitimate source for that rumor.
We learned, as we all thought, you could really offer any trade you want in the NBA, even if it's totally absurd. Like, Sean and Hardaway and Amari for Kevin Love.
All right. We learned that Mark is delirious.
For LeBron, straight up.
We learned that Mark is completely delirious, and so we're going
to
end the show.
I'm tired right now, so I think we need to end the show.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope this episode was more enjoyable, and if you're a first-time listener, go back and listen to all the episodes, but skip episode 259.
That being said, also, we want more reviews on iTunes, and review us, write reviews on the episodes. Tell us if you think we suck. Tell us. We will read it on the show. If you think the show wasn't good, let us know. If you think we're bad people, let us know.
Or if you think it was good,
if you really like our
show,
tell us that also. That'd be very helpful.
Yeah, actually, you know, specific things you do and do not like are helpful because we do listen. And
if the sound of Jay's voice brings you to orgasm, let us know.
All right. Okay, so thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back in 2 weeks. In the meantime, you could listen to our comedy show, The Brink of Sanity, at brinkofsanityshow.com. We will be recording that next week.
And for those that are new to the show, we will be doing more frequent Nick shows when the actual season starts.
Right. We do sometimes two a week during the regular season. So on that note, have a good night, everybody. Oh, wait. Don't go away. We're going to try and do a live call-in show next week. So go to our Facebook page and our Twitter for more details on that later in the week when we get that organized. We've been getting requests for that, and we're going to give it a try. Good?
Sounds amazing.
Okay. Goodbye for real.
I'm going to call it.
Bye. Love. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye. This is the end.